Welcome to the Inside Look at Legal podcast, a podcast by lawyers and experienced litigators, bringing you an inside look at today's legal practices. Hosted by Keith Miller, Butler, Schneider, and Pollack. Learn more about the firm at www.arkattorneys.com. And now, let's begin today's Inside Look at Legal.
Hello and welcome to Inside Look at Legal. I'm your host, Mason Bowling, and I'm joined as, well, not as always, but as almost always.
As recently.
Right. By fellow associate attorney, Seth White. Hello, Seth.
Hello, Mason.
I wanted to talk about something that we don't participate in much because we do everything we can not to participate in it. And I think the reasons for that will become clear as we continue this discussion. But that's forced arbitration. You can't go in front of a judge or a jury. You have to go in secret to an arbitrator to litigate your claim. Do you have any firsthand experience with arbitration? Have you been through that process or fought against it at all?
When I was doing insurance defense work, I was at some type of arbitration for, I'm not sure what it was, but I remember going to one. I didn't really do anything. I just watched, and it was different than like court. And then the other experience I have with it was I worked for a business that will remain nameless. It's a big business, but my whole project working for them was, how can we compel mandatory arbitration from our entire workforce without them signing anything? That was my project, and it's possible. I mean, a company that isn't nameless, it's a company that has court cases that did it. Macy's accomplished it, and the idea is you offer mandatory arbitration as a term of employment, and even if they say, no way, not signing it, disagree, showing up, working, and then accepting payment is implied consent, and it's been upheld and maybe in the Eighth Circuit, to be honest with you. I'm not sure.
So. The courts, I would say in general, state courts, federal courts, you name it, have been very friendly to arbitration. And that's been led by the Supreme Court. And although you can find a stark political division on this issue in legislatures, for example, in Congress, whereas Democrats tend to be against arbitration and Republicans tend to be more in favor of it, although I think we'll talk in a little bit about how our experience with issue one suggests this is more of a bipartisan thing on the ground.
Absolutely.
Outside of elected officials.
Absolutely.
But what I was going to say is on the Supreme Court, it hasn't been that much of an ideological issue. The more conservative justices have all sort of been in favor of more arbitration, but the more liberal justices are kind of split themselves. So it's not even like a 5-4 issue right now at the Supreme Court. It's like a 7-2 issue. So that's going to be a difficult battle. And it's one reason, though, that House Democrats, for example, right now are working on legislation that might be able to more or less overrule the decisions of the Supreme Court, because it's not a constitutional issue. It's a contract issue. And so Congress can legislate on contracts, and they don't have to be beholden to what the Supreme Court says. I was thinking about all of this, though, because there was a report recently from the American Association for Justice that kind of gives an overview of arbitration clauses. And primarily the focus of this was on employment contracts and financial services contracts, because those are the two big areas where arbitration comes up the most. I will say, in our experience, we see it a lot in nursing home cases, which is scary. There's been a lot of case law striking down arbitration provisions because the nursing home got a resident to sign who wasn't competent, or they didn't fully disclose the nature of what arbitration meant, which means that you're waiving your right to a jury trial. You're waiving your right to a lawsuit if the nursing home does something bad to you. So that's where most of my litigation has been spent, but this report is mostly concerned with the other two areas that I mentioned.
Well, and before you, I just had a thought. I want to say it before I forget.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not, you know, personally, maybe, you know, the Supreme Court is a good example. I'm not like that against arbitration as a fundamental idea. I think because it's a contract deal, I think where I totally disagree with it. It makes me just, what are we doing? Is when you start using contract law to take over every other area of the law. You're using a contract to talk about nursing home negligence. You're using a contract to talk about, you know, someone who has suffered a catastrophic injury.
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay, if you want to arbitrate between two banks or a land contract or something that is more contractual in nature, I'm not really that bothered by it. And maybe even you want an arbitrator as opposed to, like, in my role, the jury. But when you start using contracts to take over other parts of the law, I think that's the big issue for arbitration in my head.
I agree with you. And on top of that, it's important that because it's a contract thing, it's a type of resolution process that arises from a contractual agreement, it should be between people of equal bargaining power. And so if you and I sit here and we hash out some kind of contract between us for, I don't know, the sale of a car or something, and we decide that we want to arbitrate any disagreements, I think that's fine. Both of you know, you and I know what we're doing. But in the nursing home example, if it's a condition of admission, which they usually say it isn't, but there's no way that the resident or their child or whoever is going to sit there and argue with the person who's handing them these forms and say, oh, no, we can't do this. Same thing with a job. If you're filling out an employment application and you're desperate for a job or whatever, you're not going to be able to negotiate with this huge corporation on whether to include arbitration or not. When you sign up for a credit card, same thing. So what was interesting to me, I think there were two really interesting things from the AAJ report. One was that there are 60 million employees that have been subjected to forced arbitration in the United States under their contracts or handbooks or whatever. Only 0.02% of those people actually pursued a claim. And I think that speaks to two things. One, it speaks to the fact that we're not a country that's crazy about filing lawsuits, as people try to say we are sometimes, right? Very, very, very few people ever bring a lawsuit. Now, on the other hand, what that number suggests to me is that arbitration is having some of its desired effect, which is to dissuade people,
right,
from litigating. But the number is so much smaller, I think, than people would assume, and only 282 of those 60 million people in a five-year period were actually awarded monetary damages by an arbitrator, which is unreal. That's less than 1/10,000th of 1% of all American workers who are actually subject.
Would that include like NFL and MLB arbitration and all that stuff?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think so, because it doesn't really mean arbitration in the same way it might. For Major League Baseball, for example, that's an arbitration that you agree to ahead of time to determine. Right. In lieu of free agency, to determine your, you know, next year's contract or whatever. It's not really settling a dispute. I doubt that those numbers are included. Of course, if they are, then that's even more striking, because it's even fewer members of the general public who are part of this. On the credit card side, consumers brought about 6,000 claims over 5 years, which, again, is not much. When you think about how many Americans are using credit cards
like
and
nothing.
Debit cards. In that case, monetary awards came in just 131 cases.
131 against all credit card companies?
Over a five-year period, which totaled $7.4 million.
So that's like 30 a year?
Right.
That's like, well, I mean, that's like 2.5 per month?
Right.
One every other week? That's insane.
Yeah. So it doesn't happen for whatever reason. Part of it, the reason that this gets pushed so hard is that there's friendly arbitrators to the companies, because the companies are using the arbitrators over and over and over again. And a lot of times they get to select the organization or the panel or whatever. And they know, those arbitrators know, well, the company's going to be back. This one employee probably isn't going to be back. And the money is just not there. I mean, think about, you know, the types of settlements and stuff we've seen from identity breaches and that kind of thing. If people were allowed to actually sue in court, you can imagine how much more would have been awarded as compared to arbitration. So there's this kind of myth, I think, that arbitration is necessary because there's so many lawsuits and there's so much frivolous stuff out there. And these numbers really show that, well, no, there really isn't. And if anything, arbitration is just preventing people from, rightly pursuing their rights. The other one is that arbitration is faster. It's more efficient than litigation. Sometimes maybe it is, depending on the case, but what AAJ found is that the numbers have been cooked on that. So the American Arbitration Association deletes cases in their database by filing date rather than closing date. So that means that if it takes an extra long time for a case to resolve, it will never appear to have been longer than whatever their cutoff is for the opening date. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they only measure them by when they were opened, not how long they actually took. So the longer it takes for an arbitration case to resolve, the quicker, relatively speaking, it gets purged from their database. So any case at all that takes longer than 5 years in arbitration will never even appear in the records as being an open case. So someone claiming that arbitration is faster is going to have to explain how those rules are fair. Because when we look at open court cases, we're looking at ones that are actually still open. We don't just say, well, that was filed more than 5 years ago, so we're going to ignore that one.
Yeah, you jogged my memory. There's an attorney I respect a lot who I was talking on the phone trying to negotiate a case with, and he said, well, we got to figure this out because I'm going to Oregon for a 2-week arbitration that we've been working on for. And it was this massive, it sounded like they were conducting everything the same way, in the same manner they would have a jury trial over this. And it was like a, some big major like construction of a hospital kind of dispute kind of thing. But I don't know.
Right. If it's a complex case, you're still going to have to put on all that evidence.
Yeah.
And I guess my takeaway or one takeaway from this, too, is what we talked about at the beginning. If you ask people in general, regardless of their political affiliation, regardless of their backgrounds, whether that be economic or race or whatever, should you be required to go to arbitration, or should you have the right to a jury trial if you want it? Virtually everyone says, I should have the right to a jury trial if I want it. So just like on issue one, there is, propaganda, really, out there from the business interests, those in favor of arbitration, that try to make this look like a left-right issue.
You say issue one, you're talking about tort reform.
Exactly. Just like with issue one, the people who were pushing issue one, tort reform, the people who are pushing arbitration have an incentive to make this look like a polarized issue, to make this look like it's a left-right issue. But I don't know anyone, Republican or otherwise, who thinks that you could be forced into arbitration, and that's a good thing, that you don't have to agree with it of your own free will to waive your jury trial. And it was the same experience we had on issue one, the same experience you had on the ground in Benton County. Plenty of Republicans said, it doesn't make sense. This is a constitutional right. This is a price on life. And so I want to emphasize that with arbitration because I think it's a similar battle that's bubbling up now. It's going to get a lot of attention because of the congressional legislation I talked about. And I don't think it's fair to view it as a left versus right issue. It's a people versus businesses issue, if anything.
Yeah, and I think, I can understand a lot different political views and perspectives, but one thing I know about Arkansas is, largely speaking, even if you're affluent now, your parents weren't, or your grandparents weren't, or your family's not, and so there is a stream or thought, of concern about ourselves and us as a people, and as protecting our rights. We got to protect our constitutional rights because we're aware of other places and entities and groups that may want to take away those rights. And I think arbitration is real comparable to issue one because it's the same concept. These big business, for whatever you want to say it, doesn't want you to get justice from your peers. they want to determine what your justice is.
Right. And not only in arbitration do they have kind of a de facto cap on damages like they wanted under issue one for the reasons that we talked about, but there they don't even have to get it out in the public. You know, at least under issue one, you could still sue them and still have a trial and they'd still be in the papers. You know, one advantage for these businesses and other groups under arbitration is it's all secret.
Right.
And that does a big disservice to the public, generally speaking, regardless of the merits of an individual case. All right. So I encourage people to keep an eye on arbitration and to encourage your own state legislatures or your congressional representatives to take a serious look at kind of winding back or at least putting the brakes on the move towards arbitration that we've seen over the past 10 or 20 years, because it's really exploded in that time, the number of people that actually end up in arbitration and have no choice but to do it. Seth, thank you for coming in. We'll talk again next time.
Sounds good.
You've been listening to Inside Look at Legal with your hosts, Keith, Miller, Butler, Schneider, and Pollack. Learn more at www.arkattorneys.com.